from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster who's talking in this voice so he could soothe you like a train. Once again, I'm in my train station voice because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you here. It's where I pop my peas, if you please. I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors. Let the sponsors know about it. Let me know about it. Shared it on social media. Filled out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. And I want to thank Mike, and I want to thank Ariane, who supported BetterHelp. Let me know about it. Took that next step, reached out, and connected with BetterHelp, which I really, really appreciate, and I'm really, really happy. And really, it takes courage to share that, because even though it shouldn't in our society, it's important to me, and it means a lot to me that you reached out and shared. That's the first part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need. If you need extra help right now, there's links to resources, including international resources you can contact right now in our show notes. It's also about being a part of community, being a part of positive change with our actions, saying Black Lives Matter, saying Stop AIDS. API hate, reaching out and supporting others. If you want to be a part of positive change, there's links to resources in the show notes. And one of the organizations I'm supporting is LDO. It's the Latino Development Organization. It serves the Monroe Correctional Complex, and it works to achieve equity for all prisoners with a focus on the Latinx community by maximizing their educational, professional, and personal development opportunities. You can find out more at latinodevelopmentorganization.org. Or use the link in our show notes. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
And edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer.
Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
Jonathan.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your
Thanks, Mr. Bard. You can get your own Sleep With Me branded sleep phones at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones. Use Sleep With Me to get $5 off. And what do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts that you're thinking about, like things on your mind, thinking things about the past, the present, the future. So thoughts, feelings, anything coming up for you emotionally that you're feeling. It could be physical sensations that are impacting your sleep. It changes in time or temperature, routine, whatever it is that's keeping you awake. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to try to create a safe place. I'm going to smooth it. I'm going to pat it. I'm going to rub it down. And then I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones. Oh, so creaky are my dulcet tones. They're an acquired taste, they're easy not to listen to. I also have pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, which means I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to get mixed up. I'm going to go back, and then I'm going to forget what I went back for. And then I'll say, then I'll go on a tangent about the word W. And that'll all be to take your mind off stuff and keep you company so you could fall asleep. So if you're new, I'm so glad you're here. But I really want to welcome you in and give you all the information you need. So believe it or not, this is an intro, but it's kind of part of the podcast, and that can throw people off. It's one of the many things. So I want to, here's something. If I talked about stumbling blocks before, because talk about a loaded word that should be, more loaded. Like people just throw around stumbling blocks. I mean, imagine if they did. And it feels like too broad a generalization for me because I've stumbled on many blocks. Believe me, stumbling blocks, stumbling's my name. Stumbling's my game. Stumbling on blocks is just one part of the game but I'm not playing when I stumble on blocks. Because here's the thing, there's stumbling. There's two types of blocks you could stumble on. There's the small children's blocks, right? What are they? Are those called alphabet blocks? I don't know. The wooden blocks you get, kids still get them. I don't know why they call them toy blocks, but I think that's what they're called. And then the other kind of block I was thinking of is any kind of block that's long enough to bang your shin. And at first you'd say, which block do I, not that I should be loathing blocks, but which block do I loathe stumbling over? And I'd say, well, can you stumble over a block that you hit your shin on? I say, is that a dare? Because I can guarantee you, I shall, and I have, and I will. I mean, you can definitely stumble on the little blocks, but also you could step on them, which is not pleasant either. But I mean, you could stumble over. Oh, but it's just a term. But here's the thing. I'd prefer, how about tumbling blocks? Blocks you tumble with. That's what I'd like to take your stumbling blocks and make them into tumbling blocks. And you'd say, scoots. And I'd say, come on down to tumbling blocks, much like our other imaginary businesses, the ovularity zone. Tube Town and other businesses, Velcro Zipper Shop for Velcro and zippers for fun. making mud pies, all the businesses I've haven't started. What was this business? Oh, Tumbling Blocks. It's a place where you can tumble, much like it doesn't have those bouncy. It's a bit like a bouncy castle without the castle. It's a metaphor, much like this podcast. It's a metaphor that you got to roll with. Okay, so let me get back. If you're new, this podcast is not for everybody. I think I just did an example of, like, why. But this is a podcast you got to give a few tries to. That's what most listeners say. So if you're skeptical or you're doubtful, oh, it's going to give you more information. These are some of the tumbling blocks that could get in your way, like skepticism or doubt that this is going to put you to sleep. That's very valid. I mean, I've tried so many things to put me to sleep. So all I can say is give it a few tries, or about the style or the nature of my bare attempts at humor. This is also a podcast you don't really listen to. So that takes some getting used to. It just like you say, wait a second, we just come down and we tumble with blocks. What happens after that? I say, well, then you could go to Tube Town. What's at Tube Town? Inner tubes that you inflate or deflate or roll with. We may have a floating pool one day. So yeah, that's all we do. It's a bit like a pointless meander. We run rolling with tumbling blocks. You tumble with them in a tumble friendly area. Have your tumbles here. That's what I'd say. Come down to Tumble Town, where the tumbles are free. Cost money to get in, but the tumbles are free. Second tumble, same as the first. I don't know. Oh, what was my point? So, it's a podcast you don't really listen to. You just barely pay attention. A bit like background noise that's just slightly more engaging. This is also a podcast you don't really put you to sleep. It's more here while you fall asleep. So you just kind of barely pay attention. And then that's why the shows are over an hour, is they have plenty of time to drift off. You say, okay, I can fall asleep at any time I want. You just... ideally, you're listening to me one moment and then you wake up the next. But I'll be here whether you wake up in the middle of the night or you're listening all night because you got something else going on or you can't sleep. I'm here to keep you company. So that's those are other tumbling blocks. The other things you can throw people off is the structure of the show. Show starts off with a greeting. Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Just like the greeter at Tumbletown to say, hey, come on in. First tumble's free because it's outside. But before you came in, that was your first tumble. Also a tumble-friendly area. It looked like a walkway. It was really a friendly tumble zone. The structure shows. So that's the greeting. Then there's support for listeners. Then there's support from listeners to keep the podcast free for everybody. And then somewhere around 6 or 8 minutes in the show, the intro starts, which we're now about 10 minutes into. And the intro is a show within a show to ease you into bedtime. It introduces you to the podcast and it gives you some distance from the day. Helps you start to unwind. And some listeners fall asleep during it, but a lot of listeners are doing something else as part of their bedtime routine. So that's the intro. Then there's business between the intro and the show. That's just how podcast business structure works. That keeps the show free for anybody. You don't get like, no, that's like, yeah. Then there's a story. Tonight it'll be something new. We're going to try visiting a theme park ride that's not open, like an overview of it. So that like called World of Motion. So we'll talk about that. We'll run through what it was like and stuff like that. And then there's some thank yous at the end of the show. So that's the structure of the show. The other things to know that are important are, you deserve a good night's sleep. I make the show because you deserve something to put you to sleep, whether it's sleep with me or you give it a few tries, it's not for you. Go to sleepwithme.com/no thank you. You could see other great sleep stuff out there. But also, I've been there, so I know how it feels. If I can give you something that'll help make your bedtime less stressful and take your mind off stuff, that's really my honor, right? Like, I get to do that and help you out, get some rest when I've been there. That's amazing for me to have that opportunity to help you, because I know what it feels like. I don't want you to have to go through that rigmarole. So that's why I make the show, and that's why I say give it a few tries, see how it goes. I really hope it can work for you. I really work hard. I yearn and I strive. I appreciate you coming by, and I really want to help you fall asleep. Here's a couple of ways I'm able to be here for you twice a week for free. Thanks. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. All right, buddy, this is Scoots here. This is something we've never done before. And I've kind of been procrastinating on it because I wanted to put too much work into it. And I did put a lot of work into it. But I also was like, okay, let's see. Like, you got to cool it down, you know, Scoots. You got to slow it down. You know, watch out. You got to do this in a sustainable way. And I'm pretty sure up until now we've only done theme park content with Ray. I mean, like fictional theme park content. And so I wanted to experiment with like an attraction at Disney World that doesn't exist anymore. And I thought that might be fun to do, so we'll see how this goes. First, I'll talk, we'll take you through an attraction that doesn't exist anymore. And first I'll talk about why, and then I'll take you through the ride, and we'll just see how it goes. How does that sound to everybody? Really meandering and sleepy? And this may be something in the future I could, like, work with. I'm going to have to reach out to somebody that has a Disney, maybe Disney podcast or Disney history podcast or something, but we'll see how it goes. So let's see. So the name of this attraction is called the World of Motion. I don't have any history about it, but there's a great Martin's vid. I don't know if anybody watches those, like Ultimate Tribute video that has a lot about the history of it. But this is like more about my personal history with it and then a journey into the ride. And it was a pavilion in Epcot's Future World. Currently, it's called Test Track. And this is an interesting place of discussion about theme park rides, particularly Walt Disney theme park rides and change and nostalgia and budgets and all of that. Another podcast I should check out is Podcast The Ride do an episode about this. I didn't go all the way back into their archives to check. But so this ride, okay, so it's called World of Motion. And it was by GM. And as you can imagine, it was kind of a tribute to the automobile and driving on highways and stuff. Though inside the pavilion, we're just going to talk about the ride or the World of Motion. Whatever, it's World of Motion within the World of Motion. Because there was like an Omnimover ride called World of Motion, but then there's the Pavilion World of Motion, and that had like some alternative stuff that I would normally rush by in a hurry to try to go on the ride again. And it was a big building shaped like a wheel. It was not super impressive the first time I went on it was the first time I went to Epcot Center, which I don't really remember. Like, I don't remember going on it this time. Maybe I kind of do with my teacher and two of my classmates from my high school. So that would have been when I was after my freshman year. And then later, my family, we would go. So this was 19... let's see, I think it was February 1990 when my family went. And I'm not sure if it was this trip either. So I may be getting, you know, I may be getting my facts mixed up. But so I don't know when this ride closed either. But somewhere could have been, Scoots, that was the ride. Like, that would be wild. They'd say the ride was closed in 1988 before you ever went to the theme park. And I'd say, holy moly, that's interesting. Okay, so talking about the building. So the building was shaped like a big wheel, and it was clad in stainless steel. And so you could see it from far away. Oh, but it wasn't as grand as it was easy. It was memorable, but like I remember from going there as a kid. And coming from Syracuse, New York, just like the Imagination Pavilion and the Land Pavilion and the Spaceship Earth, like those buildings just being like, I've never seen architecture like that. And again, this is like, you know, this is like a lot of people's experience. I realize there's people with more knowledge and more exposed to more things, but I hadn't been exposed to this kind of stuff before. Like, you want to see a cool building with metal on it, go to the De Young Museum in San Francisco. Now, that's cool. But anyway, I'm not trying to criticize. Well, I guess I am, like, offering some criticism because it was just. Now, the good thing was the Florida Sun. I mean, I can remember looking at this building and seeing it and saying, okay, well, there it is. It's easy to see. And it was really big. Okay, so that's what I like. So that's the building. In the time frame, why are we talking about this? And the biggest reason we're talking about this is just one of those things that's really unrelated to the ride. It was just this one moment in time that to me felt like a combination of magical and sad, I guess, looking back on it. Mostly magical, but a little bit sad. So, okay, and then I'll also talk about how does this fit in the with theme parks and stuff like that. So the World of Motion was supposed to be this, like, promotion of GM, or slightly educational about the history of wheeled transport or transport in general, the World of Motion, and entertaining at the same time, right? Now, the pavilion had other things. And again, when I think about it, they had like three or four different things. Like, they say, well, maybe these people that like talk about Disney a lot have a point of like, oh, this park's past its prime. Now, one thing I was struck by watching the tribute video was that how many people like had to have worked on this ride, and that probably that priorities have changed with companies, like whether it's the company sponsoring the attraction or the company that runs the theme park saying, well, that's too much labor. Like, I'm just trying to put myself, not empathetically, but like, be like, oh, why have things changed? And they say, well, that's a lot of labor. And I don't think labor costs, I mean, without inflation were any different back then than they are now. Maybe they are, but just say company's priorities and their shareholder needs and all that stuff has changed, I believe. I guess, and that's more of like an AS, you know, I'm making a rear out of me. But so it was an attraction mostly made up of animatronics and set pieces. And so in the 1990s, like, or 89, when did I say? Oh, yeah, 1990 maybe, or 1991, 1991, February 1991, that's when I'm guessing this happened. So for someone from Syracuse in February 1991 to go on an Omnimover attraction, which is just one of the ones where you sit in a car and it's really just one big train of cars and they move at a slow pace and the cars turn towards the set pieces and it's a lulling pace, just like this podcast. But to see animatronics is absolutely amazing. And I think that's one thing that drives some of this like displeasure, like or resistance to change at Disney from fans. I'm not saying with Disney, is like that first experience for those people of those generations of seeing that, it really was a pinnacle experience because of just like nostalgia and moment in time and being exposed to something new to see animatronics. And they say, you know, and this is, again, just a made up, they say, but like they say, well, that's not a popular attraction anymore. What, like, number of people that ride it's down. We got to make something more exciting. And they did make something more exciting in Test Track, which is one of my favorite rides, just for the outdoor portion where you go fast. It is like one of the best 10 seconds in all of the Disney parks. And it could, the rest of the ride probably could use some use. And it's been, it already was refurbished in the last 5 or 6 years, so probably won't be again for a while. But the part of the ride that goes fast is cool. And then they have a kind of a similar ride set up at Cars Land in California. And I don't know if that's the same layout or anything. You always say, well, that's what I always can't understand. People say Indiana Jones and Dinosaur are the same track layout. I say, what? My brain can't process that. But at Cars Land, they're the same ride vehicles. So I don't understand, like, if there can be all these animatronic, I mean, Spaceship Earth still is animatronic heavy, and maybe the park can only handle one, because it used to have all animatronic rides on that side of the park. Like, it had Spaceship Earth, Universe of Energy, which was some dinosaur animatronics, Horizons, which was animatronics, and World of Motion animatronics. So I don't know. And then again, like I say, it takes a lot of, I mean, the good thing was kept a lot of people working, and I'm presuming they're at least decently paid jobs, because there have been craftspeople and artisanal, like artist jobs. But okay. So that, but for a kid, whatever, I wasn't a kid, I guess I was a kid, but I wasn't a little kid. I was just like, holy cow. So that's one reason I have nostalgia for this ride. The second one was because it was an Omnimover, I think like something like 3,000 people an hour could ride this ride. And because it was an Omnimover, it just constantly, even if the line was long, which will be a main part of why I'm talking about this, like it, that the line was almost always moving unless the ride had to stop for a little while. It was always moving because people were always getting on and off because of the way the Omnimover attractions work. Like at the mansion of Happy... Big Farm Friends is an Omnimover attraction. So yeah, like, so when you're, so, okay, so those are a couple pieces of information. Another thing is, and I don't know which, if this is our first or second trip to Disney World as a family, but it was a big deal. But like, I was also a very independent person, and I had my brother and my sister that were 2 years younger than me. And I think on our first trip and maybe even our second trip, we also went with my cousins and my aunt and uncle. My cousin was the same age as me. And then I had a cousin slightly younger than me that was close to the same age as my sister. And we were old enough that we could go to a park as a family and then split up. Like, I think my father would give us whatever, 10 or 20 bucks for the day. And he'd say, okay, you have to feed yourself with this money. Those of us that were in like middle school and high school, which I guess is a little bit different nowadays, parenting. But also, I guess, like when you only have, like when you have six kids, you probably don't want to be around all your kids because especially me, I was angsty. But so we would split up. And a lot of times I was like, I really loved, just like Ray talks about, suspending my disbelief, like seeing how much, like I remember waiting in the line by myself. Like I like to walk around by myself. And I would, like, create these storylines in my head, or I would go with the ride's storyline. Like, there was this one ride in Epcot that's gone now called Body Wars. And I don't even remember, the queue kind of helped you suspend your disbelief, and I would just try to fully do it. Like, I would try to see how much I could convince myself that I was in some, you know what I mean? I mean, that's why I make a sleep podcast. So the benefits of this World of Motion traction were, one, it had animatronics that were cool. It was air-conditioned. There was long lines, but the lines were always moving. It had music, and, like, you constantly felt like if you were getting on a ride, you were winning. And at some point in these few family trips I made, I would also fall in love with the shows at Epcot, but I don't think I was there on this trip yet. Maybe I was. So those are some pieces of information. So at some point, I had already ridden this ride a few times, but I said, okay, I'm going to ride it again. And my family had gone to Epcot Center, and we had split up. and I was by myself. And so I got on this, so I walked towards this big shiny wheel. And what you would do is you would walk towards it. And in the, like, there'd be a cutout in the center of the wheel where the entrance was. And spiraling up the entrance was the Omnimover. It went in a spiral around a mirrored column outdoors and back into the building. It went from inside the building on the first floor and spiraled upwards into the second floor for the attraction. And the cars were blue. The building was red, and like the thing that went up was blue too. And usually the line would be outside, and it was, you'd go in the left side of the building to get in line for the ride. But usually the line was long enough that it was going all the way outside. But like I said, it was always moving. So there's like a thing, you're like, oh, even if the line's long, you might as well get in it. And this was a different era when you just waited in line anyway. And you didn't even have a phone. I mean, like, that's why I was like, okay, I'm just going to try to suspend my disbelief here. So I waited in line. So you'd wait in line there. And what you would do is you'd go into the building, and there was a queue. There was a couple benches. It was pretty boring queue. I think there may have been some murals. That was another thing Epcot and Disney used to have going for them, was these, like, amazing murals. But they had, like, the song, I think, was playing over the loudspeakers, which is, it's fun to be free. And I'll try to link to some of this in the show notes. So you'd kind of, and it was like in a 70s, I don't know, 80s type vibe, the music, and kind of silly, a little bit above, a little bit different than the Disney anthems that are like, you know, that Simpsons have made fun of, like, we're going to feel, you know, those kind of songs, like, feels good to feel good or whatever you want to, you know, this was more campy in a good way versus trying to be like, I don't know, like self-help a song or something that a lot of Disney stage shows have. So it was fun, I guess, because it was fun to be free. That was the song. And then you would get on the attraction, like you'd go up a little bit of a ramp as you were queuing, and then you get on the Omnimover, and then the Omnimover would go up, and we'll go through that part of the ride in a second here. But you would eventually start to cycle up, and you would go outside, and you'd be spinning around, and of course you'd be looking at, I mean, I would be looking outside, and this is the main reason why I wanted to talk about this, is like, so I was on the, I was in a car by myself, and I was looking outside, and then right in line by himself was my brother Carl, like outside, like just waiting in line. And to this day, I mean, I guess more so now that I'm adult, like it's not as exciting, but like at the moment I was like yelling. I couldn't believe that he was in line for a ride I was on for some reason, and that I just happened to see him. And like, I don't know. And I mean, this was no cell phones or nothing. So it was just like one of the coolest random moments. And I mean, the theme park is pretty big. So I guess like part of me is like, well, but then it's like, well, if you both started at point A, you may have ended up at point C together. And I'd say, okay, fair enough, fair enough. I also remember eating by myself probably before I went on this ride. There was a restaurant called the Electric Umbrella. And I got some sort of Burger King chicken, the old school Burger King chicken sandwich, like something like that there. And I really liked it. And plus, it kind of felt like, for me, again, coming from a big family in Syracuse, New York, and, you know, my family, like, was pretty, like we didn't, like, go, we didn't go out to eat a lot or anything. Eating at a fast food restaurant alone was like, had this illicit thrill. I think that was like part of the, like, just something about it. Like, it didn't feel adult or wrong, but it just felt like fun to be free, I guess, in a different sense. But so, I don't know, that's just one of my favorite memories of the park, is of going to theme parks. It's just like looking out from that attraction and seeing my brother and just my mind being blown. And I guess like the sad part, you say, well, what's the sad part? I say, well, maybe that like I was so independent that we could have been sharing that moment together or something, like, but that's like my internal critic saying that anyway. or saying, well, I wonder if I may have waited for him after the attraction because I was so excited. I may not have because it would have been a while. But that would have been fun, too, of, like, seeing if you wait for the person and you don't find them. But it was also, like, you're trying to go on as many, like, those horizons in World of Motion. Like, if I was at Epcot Center on those first two trips I had made, like, I would have tried to ride those rides, like, as many times. Between those three rides, Spaceship Earth, Horizons, and World of Motion, like, usually because they had such high capacity, even if the lines were long, you could keep riding them. And then you felt like, I don't know, you just felt a sense of accomplishment. And then there was, like, the Sea Cabs in, what was it ever called? Sea Base Elf. I can't, like, the Living Seas was what it used to be called. But that one, I think you had to wait in line to get on the Sea Cabs. So that one was not as free-flowing. And then Living with the Land, again, it was not as free-flowing because that was a boat ride. And Imagination one, that was an Omnimover, but it always seemed like, it seems like we went on it a bunch, but not as many times. So that side of the park was just good for trying to re-ride as much, you know, just get your value. And you just see and notice more things. So, okay, so that's it. We're approaching... let's close our eyes now, and you see this big circular steel pavilion in Future World. We've probably passed, there's a good set of restrooms on the way there. To your left, I don't know where, I guess to your left in the past would have been Universe of Energy and Horizons, but I can't really remember. And then to your right would have been Wonders of Life, maybe. Somewhere around there, but straight ahead is this big silver building. It has a sign out front that says World of Motion and a circular planter. And then there's the open part of the building where we see the ride circling up to the top. And the other signs that say GM's World of Motion. There's red walls. And the blue track, a circular. Another thing that would have been good is that the mirrors on the thing were good. I don't remember what this ride looked like at night. And then we see a line of people on the left getting ready to go on. But man, is it moving smooth. As we proceed up the ramp, we're hearing music playing. It's fun to be free, man. It's fun to be free, and free as a bird, you know, to go anywhere and do all that stuff, man. It's fun to be free. And we're going up there. And we got one last, there's metal. There's a couple white plastic benches that look high quality. Some of the queue is a rope on poles, and then some of it is that metal queue. Every once in a while they say, please don't sit on the queue. And hopefully this isn't a ride where I cut the line. And then we see these plastic Omnimover cars, gray seats, blue cars, or light blue seats. We climb in. There's two rows to a car, but it's basically a train anyway, so it doesn't really matter. And we get in, and they say, your vehicle's doors will close automatically. Please keep your hands and arms inside your vehicle and remain seated while traveling. Thank you. And we slowly circle up to the left. So a clockwise spiral up. We can see Spaceship Earth as we go. And then to the right, we see... The Universe of Energy. Don't really know if Horizons is to the right, too. I can't really remember. But that wedge-shaped... Horizons and Wonders of Life is to, like, our right as well. So I had thought there was something... Or to our left. We start to go up into this red building... And there's doors a bit like the stage. It looks a lot like the stage entrance at the beginning of Looney Tunes cartoon. That's another thing I always remember. Like, Looney Tunes always had this thing that looked like a thing. I don't know. You know what I mean? Or maybe don't, but you'll see. And then we hear, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, welcome to the wonderful world of motion. General Motaz now invites you to travel the open road and to discover that when it comes to transportation, it's fun to be free, which is probably playing in the background now. And we go around the ramp still, and then we enter through the corridor that looks like the Looney Tunes, but it's only a distraction for me. As we leave Spaceship Earth and the rest of Future World behind, we hear me say, throughout the ages, we've searched for the freedom to move from one place of the other to the other. In the beginning, of course, there was foot power, but with our first wandering steps, we quickly discovered the need to improve our basic transportation. And as we go into the building, we see, first thing we see, which was really cool, was like these stone walls. Like you say, oh boy, this is like where you'd find some cave paintings. And that's like a, you figure, wow, that's, they made that, whatever they did, they made that archetypal. And, but then there's glow up footsteps, bare feet walking, that kind of goes with that, the narration that's going to come up. And we hear, throughout the ages, we have searched for the freedom to move from one place to another. In the beginning, of course, there was foot power, but with our first wandering steps, we quickly discovered the need to improve our basic transportation. And we see a couple of people that look like they lived thousands of years ago, early humans. One of the humans is like, he has hot feet from walking, so he's blowing on his feet to cool them down. Maybe they're, what, like I said, were you guys at a Disney water park or something? Because that's what happens to my feet, at, or like a pool or a hot beach. And the other one, the other early human is like waving his hand over his hot feet with a fan, maybe a leaf, trying to cool it down. We also hear other things, you know, sound effects. Also, you say, like, when you look at the one blowing his feet, you say, wow, he has a haircut a bit like mine, but he has, like, his eyes are open, his cheeks are actually puffing, and, like, even red from blowing, his feet are red, and he has, like, big wide eyes, like you would do if you were blowing on your feet, which, again, is a, it's, like, cartoonish. But I don't know. Again, you see, wow, they don't have it. I've never seen anything like this before where I come from. And then the narrator says, after years of stumbling around, we launch a new idea, our first safe highway, water. And then this was another way they really had success. And now it seems like theme parks lean too heavily on it. Because it's not, it's like a projection, but it doesn't look like it's projected on a screen. It's like a, like this, back then, like dark rides were dark, like meaning if in the ideal situation they were so dark you couldn't see between the scenes, like the transitions were darkness to light. And I'm sure that was to hide stuff they didn't want you to see, but then it was also, it like was like in a way of like suspension of disbelief. It was cool because you were constantly being told where to look. You say, okay, don't look in the darkness. You're looking towards what we want you to look at in the light. And sometimes the car would turn that way or the track would. But it was also just weird because it wasn't like you pull up to a screen and you're supposed to watch it and you watch some action unfold and then you go to another screen. You were constantly in motion, so your view was changing. And so we see like what seems like a projection, but it's like it looks like mobiles, actually. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't projection because they're all moving. And there's like a canoe, a raft, a sailing boat, a couple other things. Let me see in the video here. A couple different types of boats. Then we see actually a big we see, we go into a set now. So we go from the projection to a set where someone's sleeping on a raft, and they're about to get a surprise, from a forest friend. We say, holy moly. And then we go to our next scene, on land, our animal friends give us new freedom, and we test drive many new models. And so we see, that scene was on our left, this is on our right. There's a toll booth there's a person riding like in a kind of a house on an elephant, and then someone actually like controlling the elephant. Like these are full-size animatronics. Then there's a person on a bull, and the bull seems displeasured with being, like the bull's supposed to be pulling a sled, and I don't know if the bull was steaming. There's someone like totally chilling on a camel, like kicked back because they're waiting, someone on an ostrich. There's actually like someone with a magic globe on a flying carpet. There's someone trying to get a zebra to move. But the zebra's like, I'm not going anywhere. Please don't tell me. Then there's someone like on a mule or a burro or something. And they're all waiting in line to pay the toll for the toll bridge. And again, this is all full size. It's so funny because it's like an ostrich, like in a thing. I don't know, so many little jokes hidden in there. And like so much like little motion like of the animal's breathing or the zebra sticking its tongue out. And that's all underscored by the song Fun to Be Free. And then a revolutionary turn of events, the wheel. Now things really get rolling. It's fun to be free. And it goes from just the music to someone singing, it's fun to be free. And then we see three inventors with spinning wheels, like one's like a triangle, one's like a hexagon, and the one like might be a square. They're all spinning, but they're kind of being, they're saying, this is not working, man. Like, this is just not going to work. And they all have their heads kind of hung down, like their designs have been rejected. But then there's someone with a round wheel facing like a throne. And like there's like someone on the throne laughing hysterically while somebody else is like in the, here's the thing. Like, so the wheel is actually, the inventor's actually barely rolling the wheel. And that's like the pièce de résistance, like that it's like the wheel is like sitting up and it's wooden. And the inventor's just barely rolling it. Like, see how this is going to work? Just a subtle motion. And then the king laughing hysterically is just funny because it's like kind of rando. And let's see. Then we go, like, there's all these, like, weird wheel effects. Like, as a transition, like, projected wheels spinning around, like, all sorts of spacey stuff here. And then with our newfound freedom, empires expand, cultures flourish, trade and commerce grow. You say, well, really, like it's only a colonist could have written that. But we do see a chariot being pulled by a horse with like someone on it, and they're ready for action. Then we see a man being pushed in a cart with another person pushing the cart, like holding it up and running along. Then we get to like what looks like a temple, and there's vases that have so this is where it's like really cool. Like, so there's vases like Greco-Roman style painted vases, but the vases have projections on them. Like, one's a horse running, and then the other is one of those half, like a centaur, a half man, half horse, and on the vase. But then we see in person, there's one, and like a woman is like she's like in charge of him, and she seems to be like, okay, like, she's like kind of blushing. And I was like, how subtext, like, what is going on here? Then we see all these used chariots that are for sale. We're at like a used car lot, but it's a used chariot lot. And you can see there's prices that are discounted. And then we see all these people, like, it says on sale. And then we see like a salesperson making a deal, like a couple of people like getting sold chariots. And it's kind of comical, and they use Roman numerals. And then there's like this one really expensive chariot up top that seems to be for sale. And they say, yes, so lend me your ears. This is a Colossus bargain, just like new. Beauteous Maximus, loaded with extras, power, reins, marble floorboards, 4 speeds, suitable for the throne of Venus. Fly on the wings of Mercury, all pass anything on the Appian Way. This Colosseum cruiser is fit for the gods, truly glorious. Caesar's wife had one. This one was driven by Caesar himself. And then we start to transition on the left to a new scene. With proud new ships, we sail forth in search of worlds, undaunted by age-old myths and silly superstitions. And we see another cool, like a dark ride, like a map projection. And again, like what's projected on is also a part of the set, and it looks like scrolls. And so it's made to look like a map that's come to life. And it's like this old map where, you know, the end of the world, like the wind would blow from a god and the god's blowing the ship off the edge of the earth. And then we see like a friend, a water friend, like you say, hey, I'm a water buddy. But then it's on the map. Then you see it in person, and it's a bit like a puffed magic dragon, and it's looking and it has its eye open. And then we see a sailor like looking through a looking glass, and it's looking right into the eye of the and the sailor's on a ship, again a set piece, and then looking into the eye of the our water buddy. And apparently this is Columbus, according to this. Then we go to the age of Renaissance, where great minds are turning from works of art to flights of fancy. And we're at Da Vinci's workshop, and they actually have this like Mona Lisa that I don't know if it's lit or projected, that like an actual animatronic like posing and like waiting for like a Da Vinci. There's like a projected windows or scene painted perspective windows of like countryside, like, so just a level of detail. Again, you say, okay, wait a second, a little Scoots might have had a point here. Like, there's again a good way, like, there's too many things for your eye to take in, so it does become very gives you a sense of place. And I guess you can see when you're trying to just return value on stock, you might say, well, we don't need those windows. She's waiting. She looks cool. Just the way she's lit. She's lit to look like hyper real, like, and like Mona Lisa. But the thing is, it looks like Mona Lisa, but like in 3D. And we have her paint, then I have a painting of her, like, to reinforce that, that's not finished. And Da Vinci's working on like an Icarus rig. And like there's a man up there, like, with his Icarus rig saying, and like, and I think there's even pigeons. Is that what this says? I don't know, like, just multiple levels. Oh, yeah, there's a couple pigeons. It is, like, I can't tell, again, if the windows are projected or just, like, like, again, another set, but so well done. So they're trying to get Icarus off the ground, and Da Vinci's making notes. Then we go, we see a couple other, like, flying contraption mobiles, like balloons and type and stuff people are imagining. Like, that changes the scene. Then we see someone in kind of like one of those wigs that the upper class used in London would wear, and they're in a balloon, but they're with their farm friends. So they're in a balloon with, like, a goat and a pig. And, say, interesting. And maybe even a chicken. So just comedic, I guess. But again, full size balloon. And everything had motion. So just look cool. And then we go from hot air to the power of steam. Now nothing stands in the way of progress on the open road. And we approach a steam powered carriage. We see it on the right. Like, it looks like a horse drawn carriage, but it's a steam drawn one. And it's been bumped by a bull that's, like, saying, hey, like, the bull says, this is my territory, buddy. And the bull has steam coming out its nose. And it's even lifting the carriage up. The wheels are moving. The people in the carriage are moving. There's, like, the carriage driver. There's the carriage, you know, the carriage backup. So just, like, you're like, holy moly, man. And they said, the passengers say, hark, what goes on? Why are we stopping? I should have ridden me horse. Be gone, bull. Move to yon pasture. You are a bull-headed beast. Be gone. And then it goes, the great boilers of steam change our sails to paddle wheels. And then we see, like, a paddle boat. And it has a couple dancing in the window with that, you know, those dancing, spinning shadow effects, other shadow effects in the windows. It's night. So it looks really cool. There's a man and a man trying to load the ship with a donkey who's not listening. So again, kind of showing, maybe it's like GM saying, see, trust a machine. Animals can't be trusted to work with you. I don't know if that was like a subtle message, but they're trying to roll. We see the paddle wheel and, he's saying, come on, man. Then we see a boy watching the ships go by, like, from a high thing, just chilling. Saying, hey, that's cool. And it may be a couple, there's a couple more forest friends looking on, or maybe they're pulling another wagon. Oh yeah, there's a wagon with a band. So I guess they're playing backup music for the thing. And there's a dog. Beyond the Mississippi, passengers enjoy the scenic West with the freedom and adventure of the open road. Then another kind of horse arrives, a steam-powered iron horse, bringing fast, dependable, safe travel to a new frontier. And then we see comedic level here, like there's a steam train locomotive that's been stopped, and people are saying, hey, we're here, we're stopping the train for our donations. It looks like they caused, like, a rock on that caused the train to slow down. They say, have you ever played that game Red Redeemer 2 on the Xbox or PlayStation? And there's other people and passengers, and they're saying, hey, just make your donations. And they're all really well-dressed, very, and there's even some Pirate of the Caribbean effects where they say, hey, I'm going to spit, like, watch me spit on that sign. It'll be like a spittoon, and it'll make a batoom sound, And so they're going around taking donations. They're saying, hey, come on, this is called pass in the hat, drop it in the hat, mister. Come on, come on. Hold her steady, grandpa. Hold that box steady. So the narrator's kind of blissfully aware of all this. This says, and the peaceful countryside. What more romantic way to enjoy it when that infallible combination of person and machine, the bicycle. And then it's like peaceful countryside, and we see a person riding a tricycle, but it went in the mud, and he's a dog's trying to say, hey, let me play with you, and he's trying to climb a tree. Oh, no, that was one person. He tried to climb a tree where a dog was trying to play. Then another one crashed his bike into a mud bog with two pigs. And another one, a woman's like laughing at him while he's there, like they were on a date or something. And she's like, you fell in the mud. Looks a little bit like Samuel M. Clemens, a person's dressed like that. And the pig kind of looks like, the pigs are like kind of laughing or like almost like going to kiss him or something. And then we see other bikes rolling by, like again on a projection screen, just to give us another layer of motion. And we see somebody riding like a big unicycle, tipping their hat. The call of the open road brings us a new wonder, a carriage without a horse. Yes, the horseless carriage. We thunder full speed into the 20th century. And we see the turn of the century. We see a garage where someone's working on an engine on a kind of old-fashioned car. And there's, again, motion in the engine. There's windows with lighting. I think the sun's setting. Then we see like a delivery vehicle, and we start to see this scene. We see somebody with a convertible. I don't remember that part. Going up and down, like a man and his horse are watching, and then we see a scene behind them. Oh yeah, he's cranking it, like some dude with a hat, a bright blue car. And he's demonstrating how a convertible works on a horseless carriage. So I didn't even know they had convertibles back then. And we see a busy street, like a projection. This one is a movie projection, though, like a black and white silent movie with trolleys and horse-drawn vehicles and motorized cars. And streetcars and everything. And then we get to, like, this big traffic jam. This is, like, the big set piece of this ride. There's kids on bikes, and then there's cars, a big mess, like, spilled stuff, a lady waving her umbrella with a big flowered hat. She's in a car with somebody and a dog. Seems like it's in London. There's, like, a double-decker bus. There's a horse that's misbehaving. That's what's causing the traffic jam, not the cars, just so you know. And there's somebody even like it looks like there's like the horse caused like a dumping of fruits and vegetables and chickens. Almost all the chickens are moving, which is just impressive. There's somebody with looking out of the sewer with fruits and vegetables on their head. Looks like they just woke up or something. There's a horse pulling, like refusing to listen. There's people on the double decker old fashioned bus. There's an ice delivery truck. Let's see what else. We got people somebody's writing a ticket. One of the boys is in a wagon. There's a red convertible. Oh, there's kids were taking ice off of the back of the ice truck, which is cute. People are like looking off the bus. There's somebody ringing a bell. The driver of the ice truck is honking his horn. Everybody's kind of shaking their head. And then there's a carriage with a horse who's like, what do you want me to do? And they say stuff like, move that hay. We don't have time for horseplay. Do something with that relic. Come on, let's get going. And then we invent the Sunday drive. Now we can get away from it all to the beautiful, carefree countryside. And we see a couple having a picnic. And again, the songs are playing. This guy's playing a banjo, and we start to get some more projections of hills and bridges and plains. And then we see a project, then there's like a family watching an air show, and there starts to be more and more signs. There's a billboard. that says air show coming soon. Let's see, April 30th, County Fairground, 25 cents. And this is like one of those billboards where the cop hides behind it on a motorcycle, which is running. We hear that effect. Dashing heroes of the wild blue yonder. Now the sky's the limit. And we see more and more cars watching the air show. Some people have like binoculars. And we see projections of planes doing stunts. Then there's even an actual plane on the ground. There's a boy playing along. And then we have a pilot and somebody else posing for a picture in front of a real biplane. And somebody taking their picture. And then we go to mobility is the byword of modern transportation, a way to move from here to there and for every need and every care. And it really is fun to be free. And we pass like a couple generations of vehicles, like the 1930s and 1940s and the 1950s. They're kind of going alongside us with projections behind them to give them motion. There's also like these weird, the projections are on against like on magazine covers. And one is College Humor, which I thought was funny. Because that's and a popular. But yeah, there's like a dancing, seaplanes, bicycles in water, car ads, highways, rockets, man on the moon. One of the cars is like a just married, just a car. Another one is like college students. Then the last car is like a station wagon full of little leaguers with a pennant and stuff like that. Oh, no, and then there's one more car and a family headed out on vacation with all their luggage and their dog. And everybody looks happy. I don't know if they're going to or from Disney World or somewhere else. There's a very red, chromey car. And that's where we see kind of the most free, fun to be free. Like people are surfing and we see most modern highways. Even those cars, probably like a 60s or a 70s car, maybe. And then we go into these like trippy rooms. I don't know how else to call them. Like where there's projection effects that kind of give you motion, like you're kind of going in a bobsled. And they would kind of work. I remember really digging the bobsled one. There's also whitewater rafting. Like, so you're in these big domed rooms. I think you go to three of them. Then there's, like, you feel like you're under the ocean. Bobsled, white water rafting, under the ocean. Running through the forest or maybe going on a forest line. And then, like, one from, like, a movie where it's, like, a vortex, a space vortex or something. And that one starts to spin, which of course gives you that cool effect, like where you really do. Then there's like a star spinner vortex. Then it gets even trippier, like lights passing you, like you're in, you know, you're going at like light speed or something. You say, man, when's Pink Floyd? Come on, man. This is rad, man. Could do this all day long. Let the ride, and I think if the ride stopped moving, it might not be as cool because the motion adds to the effects. Then another star type tunnel, and then again the vortex. So I guess so like maybe there's three rooms with different loops. And let's see, after we exit that, what do we got here? Skiing. Coral reef, swirling stuff, cyclone of clouds, outer space. And then we go into like this weird, another room. Oh, wait, there's like a there's like a fractal room. That's what it's in now. Like something out of Tron and fractals. Yeah, wow, man. That's rad. Very fractal, like, I don't know, remember when fractals were a thing, and some helixes, and some floating question mark? So some of the state-of-the-art computer images that now, I don't know what it'd be like to see them now, but they look pretty cool. like it kind of like one of the scenes looks like what like one of the movie theaters used up until a few years ago at the start of their movie. I don't know if it was Cinemark or wasn't. I don't think it was AMC. Maybe I don't know, but then you go out of that room, and I guess you go again because it's so dark and stuff. You go into the, like the, you start to circle this like giant open space with a like kind of a neon or glow in the dark city. Yeah, that kind of looks like it's called Center Core because it was in the center or the core of the building. But it's like it's got lights that are moving, black light stuff. Oh, and then our narrator comes back. Yes, our world has indeed become a world of motion. We've engineered marvels that take us swiftly over land and sea, through the air and into space itself, and still bolder and better ideas are yet to come. Ideas that will fulfill our age-old dream to be free. Free in mind, free in spirit, free to follow the distant star to a brighter tomorrow. And then we pass out of the city, which looks cool, into a dark tunnel. And then we get the like effect from like the other ride, you know, the big farm friends. But you go into a dark room, and then some lights start to move quickly, and then you see yourself like your car change into like a modern looking car that you're in, and it's a really good effect, even on the video. But like remembering it. Because instead of like putting someone in your car, it like makes it look like you're inside of a car. It just was a really cool effect. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, the General Motaz now invites you to share the challenge of the future. We need, and I also have a GM car, the Volt, so I can say this kind of stuff because I bought it, so. 4 years ago, well, I leased it, and then I bought out my lease because I love the car so much, though they stopped making it. But all of 2020, I think I only bought gas once because it's electric for 60 miles and then it has a gas generator. We need you to help us shape tomorrow's mobility. Just ahead is General Motors exciting Trans Center. Join us behind the scenes. We're working to ensure tomorrow's world will continue to be a world of motion. Your vehicle doors will slide open automatically. Please collect your belongings and step out to the right. The platform and your vehicle are traveling at the same speed. And then you step off the ride and you head out and you can explore the other stuff there. Or you can watch Martin's video. It has all that stuff and all the history. Or you could check out something else. Good night, everybody. All right, I want to thank everybody that reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts recently. Meg MB says, occasional insomniac. Don't normally have trouble falling asleep, but when I do, I wake up in the middle of the night, stay awake for hours and hours after I finally relent, and turn on sleep with me. I drift off. My biggest tip, don't think about it too much. Just close your eyes and listen. CPAP says, this is the best sleep podcast. Thanks for all the times you've rambled on and on with half nonsensical stories that lulled me into dreamland. I've been listening for the past year, never heard the end. If I'm not feeling up for the intro, I'll skip ahead. If I'm needing to fall asleep or feeling anxious, but I know it's far off, I'll listen to the intro and wind down. And I love that you use this space to plant seeds of inclusivity and compassion. For anyone that's not happy with that, maybe you need to listen some more and open your mind. Thank you. Jessica for America says, amazing. I slept for the first time in a long time without taking any pills. There's some ads at first, but I only remember a few things he said. Then I was relief to sleep. Slytherin 94 says it's 20 minutes of ads. Harry Styles Fan Club says, amazing. I don't know what you guys are on. His voice is so relaxing. Thank you for including important topics, making people feel welcomed. I can't even tell you how much I almost cried. Thank you for the small impact you're making. Keep up the good work. Abby from Canada says, pleasantly surprised. I have to admit I was hesitant to try this because I tried a lot of other sleep apps and found myself still awake after many episodes. First episode worked like magic and fell asleep within 30 minutes. Never happened before. Someone that has emojis that I can't really see, like a farmer ear and standing farmer ear. Scooter, been falling asleep since 2015. Love it. Right after that person's was worthless. Mike Jake, did not like the podcast. Pete says sleep guaranteed. Can't make it 5 minutes before I fall asleep. And DJ Perry says triple question mark. No idea what the podcast is about because I fall asleep within 5 minutes. So thanks everybody for taking the time to review the podcast. I really do appreciate it. It's like, because it helps other people. I don't know. Like, I know people read the reviews and then it helps them decide, or maybe it says, oh, okay, it does take a few tries. So I really appreciate it. Assuming we exist as a free podcast because people support the sponsors or support the show on Patreon or spread the word. That helps the show grow, helps new people discover the podcast. You could do it without even mentioning Sleep With Me, believe it or not. Eventually that'll help Sleep With Me just by introducing to someone to podcast apps, showing them your podcast app and saying, hey, there's one on your phone. You could start with that one, or you could try to download this one. Here's some, well, let me help it. Like, walk them through the process. Any age, you find that whatever it is, like it was 3 out of 4 people don't listen to podcasts. I think maybe half those people would. They just need to be slowly soft sold on it, but shown how, not in a way of like, let me show you how to do it, but say, hey, I don't know if you knew this, like, just check this out. It's really easy. It's free. And for everything you're interested in, there's literally the great, and the people, some people say this like it's a bad thing, but for everything you're interested in, there's 40 podcasts and some of those are pretty good. So help them and show them. And then eventually that'll work its way to Sleep With Me. We do have a referral program for people that regularly refer listeners at sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer that you could check out too. And that's it. Just got one more thing I want to tell you about. Good night. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff, what was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed, too. Now, I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have 4 podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro, all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had... March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelik's, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10... then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.